come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a recorded teaching from the Heart to Heart online summer series titled In Our Home. More information about this series is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Hello, hello everyone. It's so good to see people here. And for those of you that are online right now and you're watching this, I just want to let you know that you can actually come to the church and be in the sanctuary. We've got plenty of room for you to be socially, physically distanced. And we're just blessed to be able to put this together. This is something new that we've tried. We've not had a study like this in the summer before, and see what God's going to do with it. I am excited to see you all out there and excited for those who are online, watching online. I know you guys are all keeping in touch with each other, and so thankful for that. So because we're doing something completely different than we've ever done before, so we have different speakers that are going to be here each week. And each one is going to be on a different subject, and I actually have something that I can show you later. So if you want a copy of that. So so it is our home, and I am going to, that's the theme of our Bible study. And I am going to pray, and Shannon is going to be our teacher today, and I'm excited to have her share with you. I know that the Lord gives her words of wisdom all the time, and I love sitting under her teaching. I love how the Lord has spoken to her heart. I love how she has grown. I love that she's my daughter. I love that everything about this. So, Lord Jesus, I just, I thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have of being together today, the privilege that we have of, thank you for the internet, Lord. Thank you that we're able to be in contact with one another, and thank you, Lord, that you are in complete control of this day. You are in complete control of this time. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing, what you're going to do, and I pray that you would anoint Shannon as she comes up and speaks, and just that you would be glorified, Lord. We're excited to be together, but we're more excited that we get to hear about you and we get to grow in you, Lord, and are encouraged by one another. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
How are you guys? And I hope you guys at home are good too. This is so exciting to be able to have people here and people at home. I'm so excited to be able to hang out with you guys a little bit today. And I love our theme. And you could kind of tell that we're talking today about Matthew 6:33. It's been a really crazy time, right? We can all, everybody's said that. That's something we've said over and over and over again. I remember in the beginning of this whole thing, at the very beginning of March, I was on my way home from Israel. I was leading worship for a trip there with a church, and it had all just kind of started. We started hearing about coronavirus, and so we were so careful on our trip and sanitizing. And then I was coming home and getting ready to speak at a women's retreat, lead worship at a women's retreat and teach a workshop called Authenticity in Ministry. And I was really excited about teaching that workshop. And the Friday that we were meant to be going to this conference, my friend flew in from Denver to hang out and come to the conference with me, and it was canceled. And then I'd get a call from another thing that I had that was on my calendar to speak at or lead worship at, and it was canceled. And then that was canceled. And all of a sudden, my entire schedule was cleared. And I remember thinking, okay, because we follow the Lord, right? We know that things are not an accident, that things are not just happening by coincidence. We know that God has a plan. But to have all of these things in my calendar that I knew that the Lord had for me, thought the Lord had for me, taken off the calendar, it was a little bit of a shock to my system. It was a little bit of a, wait a minute. But you know what God taught me in the last 2.5, whatever, 3 months it's been? He taught me authenticity in ministry. And he showed me that my workshop that I prepared was garbage. Not because it was lies or anything like that, but he taught me what it really, really means. And so I'm so excited to speak to you guys today about Matthew 6:33, because no matter what is taken off of our calendar, no matter what changes, no matter what's going on in our world right now, if we put God first, it changes the way we see everything. So would you pray with me? God, we come before you, and I thank you so much that you know the beginning to the end, and everything in between has been completely ordained by you, Lord. We just want to proclaim right now that you are trustworthy, that you are glorious, that you are beautiful, that you are holy. God, we trust you because you are righteous. And we believe that Jesus came for us and died and rose, and he did all of this in our place. And because of that, we are holy. We are righteous. We thank you, God, that you give us gifts that we don't deserve. And I pray, God, that that would be something that would turn us to you, God. Get our eyes off of ourselves. Get our eyes off of what we think is reasonable and what we think is right. I pray, God, that we would just look at you today, that our focus would be completely on you, Lord. We give you our time and our attention right now as we just do a deep dive into your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew 6:33, we could all probably recite this, right? Because it's a memory verse. And I was thinking last night, no, it was this morning, I was praying, and I always write out my prayers because I'm easily distracted. Anybody else? If I'm like, I'm just going to go out in the backyard and pray, I'll start wondering like, well, how come the crows are barking at my dog? And how come the crows are after these other birds? And I wonder if they're mad at those birds. And oh, look at my grass. It needs a trim. I mean, I'm so easily distracted that I write out my prayers. And I was just thinking, as some of the prayers were actually just scriptures. A friend of mine says that we can always pray God's word because God's word is his will. And as I'm writing them out, realizing so many of them are scriptures, and I'm hearing songs in my head, you know, that I learned when I was a kid. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You remember that one? So it's so cool that God has hidden these in our hearts. So let's all recite it together. You guys at home too, join us. We're all together in this. So Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We love that verse. I'm pretty sure you can get a frame at Hobby Lobby that has it on it, a pillowcase probably. You can embroider one. You can get a pattern. Is it hot in here? Okay, I thought it was just me. Okay, that's okay. You guys at home are probably really comfy. And we are too, right? We all good? Yes, okay. It's so good to see your beautiful faces. So good to be around people. Well, I always like to take the verse that we're exploring and take that into context. And as I went back into Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 32, we're encouraged not to worry about what we're going to fill our bellies with, food or drink, and not what we're going to wear on the outside, but we're encouraged to seek him first. So we are going to talk today about seeking God first. And seeking isn't a casual thing. This term is not like, just look for God. No, it's seeking in order to find. It's looking and seeking. And like I said before, this time has been crazy, and there's so many messages bombarding us right now. And we're far beyond coronavirus. We're deep into some other things now, right? Things that are confusing and bombarding us. And the more we dig and the more we seek to find what's true and what's not, the more confused and consumed we can become. I loved reading the news before, and now I hate reading the news because I don't know what's true and what's not. It's hard to decipher what's fact and fiction. And I think it was last week, I can't remember. I've been so quiet on social media this whole time, because I just felt at the very beginning that it was a time for me to be quiet and to not speak. And, you know, if you know me, I'm always saying something. But there's wisdom in that quiet. I think there's wisdom in quieting your soul and seeking after what the Lord has for you. And what he showed me was, you don't know what this media source, what their bias is, or what their bias is, but you can trust my word. my word doesn't change. My word is right. My word will show you what is right and wrong. And so instead of diving deep into, well, let's research this media source and where this has come from, the Lord was like, you just need to look at me. That's what I want for you. Put me first. And it was so encouraging to me because God's word is not confusing. His word says he's not hiding anything from us, right? He wants us to understand. And through his Holy Spirit, we can. Isn't that cool? You can read God's word and you can know everything in here is true. It's not biased. It's true. And if we believe that everything in here is true, we can trust it. We can trust God's word because his word is the truth and his word is his will for our lives. Amen? Amen. God wants us to put him first. And when we put him first, we will see everything through a God filter. Anybody here love filters? I mean, don't we live in a wonderful time where we can post a picture not in its raw form? We can do whatever we want to that picture. I mean, I've heard of some celebrities who can like trim in their waist and they can do all these things. My favorite Instagram filter is the first one that you swipe to the right. I have no idea what it's called, but it's my favorite because it makes my skin look brighter. It just makes everything look better. But the filter that we choose colors everything, right? Let's say that the background in the picture that I'm posting is really beautiful without the filter. But once I move the filter over to make my face better, the background doesn't look as beautiful as it did before. The filter you choose colors everything. And the filters that we choose, just like we choose filters on social media, we choose the filter that we see life through. Right? We get to choose the way we want to look at our life, and the filter we choose will color the way we feel, the way we interact with others, and the choices that we will make. And that's an important choice. We have that choice regardless of what's going on in the world around us. Regardless of how crazy and upside down things feel, the filter that we look at life through matters. And what we put in front of us will determine the filter we see through. Do you see where I'm going with this? What we put in front of us. So what is in front of us? So we should ask ourselves the question, what's in front of me? Have I put God in front of me? Or have I put something else in front of me? This is a time, again, that's crazy, and I want to stop saying crazy. I'm trying to think of a better word because we have such a beautiful vocabulary in the English language. But it's a time that is filled with things to be afraid of, right? We were really, and maybe some still are afraid of the coronavirus. And now we're afraid of violence. We're afraid of rioting. We're afraid of being racist. We're afraid of all of these things, right? And anxiety is a really big buzzword right now. Really big buzzword. And a really big thing. And I don't want to make it seem small, but there's a lot that's easy to be fearful of right now. And I know that this can be a real thing for some, but I think the danger, and bear with me for a second, walk with me, okay? Because I want to be compassionate in communicating this. I think there's a danger of us attributing all negative feelings to anxiety. And if we're putting anxiety in front of us, that's the filter that we're choosing to see life through. Do you get me? If we put that in front of us, if we put anxiety first, then we will look at everything through the filter of anxiety. Everything. We will be fearful. We won't make bold, courageous choices that God has called us to and trust and told us that we can trust him in because we're filled with fear. And that is not who God has made us to be. Amen? That is not who God has called me to be. And I just want to encourage us right now that we need to broaden our vocabulary when it comes to using that word, anxiety. Because like I just said, we have this beautiful language, but every negative feeling that we feel cannot be attributed to anxiety. My husband and I have had a wonderful counselor for years, and he taught us years ago that there are four feelings that are the root, and then everything else stems from that. Are you ready? You can write these down. They're very easy because three of them rhyme, which is my favorite thing. The four feelings that are these root feelings that everything stems from are sad, mad, glad. Do you feel like you're in kindergarten? And the last one is afraid. And those are these feelings, and I want to encourage you in this area that before we put the stamp of, I have anxiety, this is just anxiety, that we would put God in front of us in this and say, God, what is this really about? Am I afraid of something? Am I afraid of things not working out? Am I afraid of not being able to pay my bills? That's fear. That's okay. That's a feeling you have, and you put God in front of you and you tell him, hey, God, I'm really afraid that I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. And what does he do when we call to him? He answers us. And guess what? He's already on the other side of all of this waiting for us. That's a big deal to know that God, there's no time frame with God, right? He's here, but he's also there. And we're going to get there, and he's going to be there, and we're all going to be great, right? Because his plans are higher than anything we could ever conjure up for ourselves. But I encourage you to seek God, put him in front of you in that. We don't want to put anxiety in front of us and say, or fear in front of us, or anger in front of us. Because again, whatever you put in front of you will color everything you do, right? So I encourage you to go before the Lord with that. I was talking with a friend of mine, and we were talking about this whole anxiety thing. And I was talking about how when everything got shut down, and everything, remember I told you everything got wiped off my calendar, I became really okay with that because I knew I was looking through the God filter and God showed me, okay, everything's off my calendar. Okay. My kids are still homeschooled. My husband can still work from home. Okay. So this must mean rest. God, you're calling me to rest right now. So help me to be okay with that. And that's not to say that I didn't have moments where I was like, seriously? And I wasn't like, really? I guess God doesn't want me to speak to people. I guess God doesn't want me to lead worship. I guess he just wants me to shut up. Of course, there were moments of that, but we have to go, oh, nope, I got to put God in front of me on this. I got to put God in front of me on this. And in what we're all walking through now, we've got to put God in front of us. We have to. Because if we're putting anxiety in front of us, let me finish my story that I didn't finish. So I was talking to my friend about how when everything started opening back up again, and I started wondering, oh gosh, does this mean my calendar is going to be stacked again? And I just started thinking, I don't want it. I don't want a stacked calendar. I want what God wants for me. And I was just mulling over it myself, and I thought, gosh, I feel so anxious. Wait, hold on. And I had to stop and think, what am I really feeling? What is it really? Because if we dig down deep, we'll find the root. When you're having a horrible day and you're slant, this is me, and this is a problem, and I'm just being really transparent with you guys because I feel like we're in the trust tree. So if I'm having a really, I mean, if it's gotten really bad and I've let myself go really far, I'm putting away the dishes in every cabinet. Like, the neighborhood knows I'm putting away my dishes. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, and this one and that one and da 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 da. But I have to stop and back up from what's happening, how that's coming out, and go, what am I really mad about? Because I can initially think, well, it's my husband. Why would he ever put a bowl there? Has he ever gotten a bowl from there? You don't go there for the bowls. Put the bowls away where you go for the bowls when you need a bowl. This makes sense. But if I back up and think, I'm really mad at my husband, if I back up, sometimes I find, no, I'm just really angry that I got up later than I planned on this morning because I was going to go walk and I was going to read the word and then I slept in. And that was really what the whole problem stemmed from. And everything went from there. It's such a basic thing. And so if I'm looking through that mad filter, then it colors everything. And my poor kitchen cabinets get a beating. And my family's like, okay, mom's having a day, you know? So when I thought that whole, gosh, I'm feeling anxious about things opening back up again, I was like, Lord, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So I put you in front of me, and I trust that if things open back up and my calendar loads up, that's your will for me. And if it doesn't, that's your will for me. I trust you. Putting him back in front of us causes us to trust him again. because don't we all need to be reminded every day that we can trust him again and again? And we're like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, he was trustworthy yesterday. That's right. Okay, we can trust him again today. So I just encourage you guys, that's all I want to say about anxiety, but you might find that after all, when you break it down and step back from the feelings and all of the turmoil that's going on, because the enemy loves to get us doing this and just spinning and mulling and getting us stuck in our heads, especially us ladies, we get so stuck in our heads. It's deep in there, right? Like there's a lot going, it's crazy and scary up there. But God doesn't want us to do that, because it could be that maybe you're stressed about an upcoming move. Totally normal. Maybe you're sad about a breakup. Totally normal. It could be these things that are totally normal. There's this Bob Newhart sketch that when Bethany asked me for a video to show before, I was like, oh, I want to show that video so bad because it's one of my favorite things. Does anybody know the one I'm talking about? It's got Bob Newhart in it. Okay. I think it was Mad TV or Saturday Night Live. I don't know. So this woman walks into this doctor's office. And he comes out and she says, oh, my friend referred me to you. You know, I'm just having a lot of trouble. And so he is a psychologist, psychiatrist. And he says, here's how it works. I only take 5 minutes and it's $5. And after that, I guarantee you're not going to need to be seen anymore. You're going to be past your issues. And she's like, wow, well, that's a really good deal. I mean, should I pay you now? You know, and he's like, no, you can wait until we're done. Just go ahead and tell me what's going on. And so the woman says, well, I just have this horrible fear of being buried alive in a box. And he's thinking, and he just says, well, stop it. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I mean, it's a very big fear. And he's like, stop it. Just stop it. And so they go through this whole thing, and he just keeps telling her to stop it, and then it's only 3 minutes. Remember, she gets 5 minutes for $5, and he made sure he told her he does not make change. Okay? So after the 3 minutes, he's like, well, we're done here, and it starts standing up and getting ready to leave. And she's like, actually, I think I'll just take the full 5 minutes. So he sits back down and says, okay, well, what else would you like to talk about? So she says, well, I'm really afraid of food. I have issues with food. He's like, stop it. Well, I'm really afraid of flying. I don't like to fly. Well, stop it. Well, I'm really afraid. And you get the picture. Everything she says, he says, well, stop it. And she's just getting so flustered. She's like, you're being so mean. And he was like, well, stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box. That's my favorite sketch. I love that one. So that one helps me when I'm feeling these feelings and I'm mulling and I can't get out of my head. I tell myself, stop it. Because sometimes we have to preach to ourselves. We cannot let it consume us. Lamentations 3 verses 22 says that through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. This is praying God's word for us. I am not consumed. I am not riddled with anxiety. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And God's word transforms us. It's not made to make us feel good about ourselves. It's not made to make us feel cozy and good because we checked it off our list. Because I fall into that. I'm like, well, I read the word today. I feel great about myself. But God has created his word to transform us. And if it's not transforming us, we're doing it wrong, right? God has not wasted his words with us. We just waste our time in not dwelling on them, chewing on them, meditating on them. So what is dominating us? This is a really good question for us to ask. Matthew 6:32, if you back up in one verse above 6:33, it says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. Now listen to this. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Let me say that again. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. So this is a reminder to us, hold on, that's not who you are. You're not dominated by those things. You're God's. He bought you. You are a new creation. Those things don't dominate our thoughts, shouldn't dominate our thoughts. The word dominate means to have a commanding influence on or exercise control over. And the only thing that we should be controlled by as believers is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit won't allow us to be dominated by those things, but we have to stop it and turn ourselves back, put God back in front of us. Because if we're filled with worry, we've put worry in front of us instead of God, and we're seeing life through the worry filter. Now, there's so many other filters that we can see life through. As I was pondering this, I was thinking, okay, Lord, what else are filters that we put in front of ourselves? So I'm a mom. I could put my kids in front of me, and that will color everything. I love my children, but they should not be before God in my life. If they're before God in my life, then I will condition everything I do to make them happy. And if they're not happy, I'll feel like I'm failing. And if they're not happy, then I'll make sure that I do whatever I need to do to make them happy. But that's not what God calls me to. God calls me to holiness. And God calls me to dwell in his word and to put him in front of me, right? So it's like seemingly good things we can think. And maybe some of you might be thinking like, well, what's wrong with me doing things for my kids? And what's wrong with my kids being happy? There's nothing wrong with your kids being happy, but there is something wrong with putting that in front of everything in your life. Do you see what I'm saying? And we're all guilty of it. I do. I put my husband in front of me. I put working out in front of me. I put food in front of me because me and food have a very special friendship. But if I even put God in front of me when it comes to food, put God in front of that. And let me tell you something. This has been a struggle my whole life. And there are days when I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to eat? And I feel so funny doing that. But doesn't God care about the outward just as much as the inward? Because it affects everything. Those days when I'm slamming the cabinets could be that I got a donut yesterday and I wasn't supposed to get a donut yesterday, but I got one anyway. So these practical things can just set us off course. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, and I want you guys to help me finish it because I know you know it. And as we finish it, let's like lock it in. Because there's a song that goes with this one too. It says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So don't dwell in the shadows when God has brought you light. And don't wallow in weakness when God has given you strength, and don't linger in confusion when God has given you clarity. We have to preach to ourselves. And I love that verse 32 that I have missed forever, for years. You know, when you're reading the scriptures and you may have been saved your whole life and you're like, I didn't know that was there. When did that get there? Verse 32 has been there all along and I missed it. And I love how the Lord does that. And because he says it right before, he's already said, don't worry about anything, basically. Don't worry what you're going to wear. Don't worry what you're going to eat, Shannon. Don't worry about any of these things, because those things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But instead, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we have to preach to ourselves, right? Meaning we have to say, stop it. Hold on. I'm a believer, I'm not an unbeliever, and I refuse to be dominated by these things. God has given me hope. And how can we be a light if we're dominated by these things that push us down? Does that make sense? Everybody's with me? Yes, okay, good. Okay, back to the filter. What filter are we looking at life through? This is a good question to ask ourselves daily, moment by moment, some days. Because I could be seeing something through a different filter every minute. Are you looking at life through a filter of fear and worry? Or are you looking at life through the God filter? The God filter isn't cloudy. It's not confusing. God is faithful. The God filter doesn't remove trouble, but it changes the view. Does that make sense? It changes how we see it. The God filter removes the fear during trouble. He can take away the fear that we're feeling right now with things going on in our lives. He can reveal joy in the sorrow. Has anybody, raise your hand if you have found some joy in this weird time. God has revealed things to you through this time, and that is what he wants. Otherwise, this time is wasted. We don't want to waste this time that God has given us when things are upside down and we can't predict what's happening. What a gift for us to rely on the Lord again, right? And that we can only see that if we're looking through the God filter. It brings light to the valley, and it changes the way that we see others. Jeremiah 29:13, what does it say, my friends? It says that if we seek him with all of our heart, that we're going to find him. when we search for him with all of our heart, we can count on him. And look at what verse 33 of chapter 6 in Matthew says now. As a result of seeking him first, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." The result of putting God in front of us is a multiplication of what he's already given us. We surrender, and God does the adding. That should just make your shoulders relax. Your neck should feel lighter. Because our surrender equals more blessings, more strength, more clarity, and more hope. At the beginning of all of this stuff, I was walking with a friend of mine and talking about how, before everything was off the calendar, I was talking about how stressed out I was and how much pressure I was feeling. Oh gosh, God's adding so much more to my calendar. I don't know if I'm ready. It feels like so much pressure. And she reminded me, but God does the adding. You're not adding anything. You keep walking with the Lord and he does the adding. We seek him. He adds. Isn't that cool? I feel like that's so sweet and it's such a good reminder for us, but it has to be a daily choice, right? Because we just said we move filters all the time and we're trying to see life through this crazy, you know, filter of I'm fearful or I'm worried or whatever's going on or my kids aren't happy, I need to make them happy. But we need daily correcting to ensure that something else hasn't crept up and taken away that God filter. David Guzik said this, and I love it. It says, "This choice to seek first the kingdom of God is the fundamental choice that everyone makes when they first repent and are converted. Yet every day after that, the Christian life will either reinforce that decision or deny it." So every day we need to go back and seek him first. Every day we need to put God in front of us because his ways are higher than our ways. And we may not understand what he's doing. We for sure don't always understand what he's doing. But we can remember that what he's called me to do is to seek him first. And some days, that's all. That's all I know I'm supposed to do. I trust God. That's all I got. It doesn't mean that we're ignorant and we don't seek to do right things in life. It doesn't mean that we don't use our brains. But it means that we're able to put God in front of us and say, okay, Lord, I'm feeling really burdened about what's going on right now. I'm feeling really burdened about racism. Am I racist in any ways? Will you reveal those things to me? Because you're putting him in front of you. You're seeing it through his eyes. And he's going to point out things nobody else will point out to you. Can you imagine if you invited a friend over to your house and they just opened your fridge and started rummaging around in there and they found something growing in the back corner? If you were at your friend's house, would you be like, you have a creature growing in the back of your fridge. How long has that been in there? Gross. But God is able to point things out in us that nobody else would want to tell us. And he does it in such a kind, gentle way. God's word says that his kindness leads us to repentance. And if we put that God filter in front of us, he will reveal the ways that maybe we have had a racist attitude. He will reveal the ways that maybe we get too angry about things. He will reveal those things in us that need to be refined or pulled out at the root. God's not going around just snipping weeds. God's ready to root it up. Because if you had a whole field of weeds and you mowed it and it looked beautiful and smelled like freshly cut grass, guess what's going to happen? They're all going to come back. And God's not about that. God's not about that. God is calling us now more than ever to seek him first and to seek what is right by him. By him. We can shut off the noise by putting him in front of us, and he will shield us from the flaming arrows that are meant to distract us from what God has. See, I kind of think that COVID was the rest for what's happening now. We thought COVID was the crisis, but I think that was the rest to get us ready for what's happening now. Because guess what God wants to do? What God has always wanted to do is reconcile people to himself. People who have never walked with him, people who have stopped walking with him and who he wants back. That's what God's goal is. And what if during this time that God is bringing a revival, I believe, the enemy is so angry that he's shooting flaming arrows everywhere. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. She's a pastor's wife in Colorado. And she was telling me that flaming arrows, fiery arrows, were not made to hurt people. They were made to start fires and to distract. And if we put a God filter in front of us, the fiery arrows won't distract us. Does that make sense? I mean, that gives me goosebumps because I think about how many fiery arrows I've run after. And I'm chasing this and I'm chasing that. And God's like, I'll be here when you're ready to come back and put me in front of you again. He's so gracious with us. I think about Joshua, and I'm almost done. But Joshua was asked to do some pretty courageous things, right? And as he got his call in the first chapter of Joshua, through four verses, God tells him three times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. By the way, be strong and courageous. And I love that God reminds him because God needs to remind us because we're forgetful. I was just talking to Lisa about that. I saw her this morning. I was like, hey, how are you? And she's like, I'm forgetful. And we're all forgetful sometimes, but God does the same for us in this chapter, in Matthew chapter 6. Sorry, Lisa, I totally called you out. But God does the same thing for us in Matthew chapter 6. This verse, 6:33, is bookended with a call to not worry. All those verses before, don't worry about this, don't worry about that. And then we get to verse 34, after we've just read, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 34 says, oh, and by the way, that's added for dramatic effect, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will bring its own worries, and today has enough trouble for today. God has bookended it for us because he knows we're forgetful and he knows we need to be reminded. Isn't that interesting? It's like, don't worry, don't worry. Just seek me first and I'll add everything. Also, don't worry because it's so easy for us to forget. So put God in front of you. It's so much easier to follow somebody when they're in front of you. Right? My husband and I have been doing these like evening bike rides around our neighborhood when the sun's down, and I don't follow him very well. I'm like a leader myself, so I have to really work to submit and follow my husband. We did swing dancing years and years and years ago. It didn't go well because I couldn't follow him because I was thinking I knew where we needed to go and I couldn't follow him. But I was thinking about this the other day when we were riding around our neighborhood, and you know, it's like this loop and then there's these streets in between in our tract. And the way I like to do it is I go around the loop and then I just snake through. And he's just like going around the loop. We're missing all these in-between streets. And I'm on the right of him and the street's there and I'm kind of like, I'm wanting to go that way, but he's in the way and I'm trying to judge where he's going. And he just started busting up as all, did you want to turn right? I'm like, I mean, whatever you want, whatever you think is right. But it's easier to follow. If he were in front of me, I would know exactly where he was going to go, but he was beside me. God's word says in Psalm 139, verse 5, that he goes before us and he hedges us in from behind. So if we're putting God in front of us, we don't need to worry about what's behind us. Because guess what else is behind us? God. He's beside us. He's in front of us. He's all around us. So there's no worry ahead of us and there's no worry behind us. God wants us to keep our eyes forward and keep him in front of us. And I just want to give kind of an invitation. If you're here today and you don't, or if you're at home watching and you don't walk with the Lord and you want to be able to have someone in front of you who knows the way that everything is supposed to go and not have to deal with fear, or maybe you do walk with the Lord and you're struggling with fear. Maybe you do walk with him and you're thinking, I think I might be putting something in front of me other than God. There's no judgment in the fact that we all need to come back to the Lord constantly every day. There's no like, oh, I have been riddled with anxiety or I have been riddled with worry. But there's only grace. God says that his kindness leads us to repentance. And that when we ask him, he comes. That when we pray to him, he hears. And when we call on him, he answers. And that is an amazing thing to know, that the God who created the entire universe, things that are way more beautiful than us, no matter how cute our outfit is, Niagara Falls or Victoria Falls in Africa, there are way more beautiful things than me. But guess what? God didn't choose to have relationships with waterfalls. and with animals. He chose to have relationships with us. We matter that much to him. And we complain a lot more than a waterfall. A lot more. But he's okay with it because he knows our frame. He knows that we need him. And so I just want to invite you this morning to pray along with me. And I want to give an invitation. If you don't know the Lord, or if you want to rededicate and put him back in front of you again in this time that maybe has been confusing and hard, that we would just ask him and invite him back in. So would you pray with me? God, we come before you and we just thank you that you are outside of time. We thank you that you're here and you're in the future waiting for us, Lord, on the other end of things that seem insurmountable right now, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would be able to think that way. Our minds are so much smaller than yours, Lord. We're so finite and we can only see things from this human level. But I thank you that because of your Holy Spirit, you are able to give us the mind of Christ. And we pray, God, that that's what you would do, that you would give us a mind that's not self-seeking, that we wouldn't be searching, trying to find what will make us more comfortable, what will make things more okay. But I pray, God, that we would be putting you in front of us. And I just want to ask everybody right now, wherever you're at, as we pray and ask that God would help us to put him in front of me, whether you're not a believer and you want to receive him now, or you are a believer and you want to rededicate that, let's just all pray this prayer together. I'll pray and you can repeat after me. Father God, I come before you. I thank you that you know everything. And I thank you that you don't expect me to know everything. God, I want to put you in front of me, because I know that I can trust you. I pray, God, that you would come into my life and that you would take your rightful place and that I would keep you there. Keep me away from fear. Keep me away from anxiety. I thank you that you have given me love, power, and a sound mind. I believe you and I receive you in Jesus' name. And God, we do pray and we thank you, Lord, that when we call to you, you hear us. We thank you, God, that you go before us and you hedge us in from behind, and so there is no need to fear. And Lord, in those things that we face in life that are opportunities for fear, I pray, God, that you would remind us of who you are and the clean, pristine track record that you have in our lives, God. Help us to remember that you have been trustworthy in the past and that all of these things we're facing are refining opportunities. Help us to be okay with being uncomfortable if it means that we'll be refined and that we'll be brought closer to you, God. I pray for each woman watching today, Lord. I pray that you would be with her in her own life, the things that she faces as an individual, Lord. Would you just cover that? Would you give her the strength to put you in front of her when it feels really hard, Lord? Because sometimes we do it with tears. And that's okay, Lord. You know our heart. You know the depths of the sadness that we feel, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, that you would turn that sorrow into joy and that we would be able to give that to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wanted to share with you guys really quick. Last Thursday in downtown Huntington Beach, a group of friends and I went, and I think, Kelly, you were there. We went down to downtown Huntington Beach, Main Street, on Thursday morning. Don't be scared. There were no riots or anything that were happening. But we went down there last Thursday, and we were a large group, but we split up into smaller groups of like two or three, and we just walked Main Street and prayed. We prayed for protection. We prayed for shopkeepers. I was with a friend of mine. We had kind of partnered up, and we came up to this nail shop, and the poor owner they had this kind of like patio area, and she hopped over the wall, and she was just so defeated, and there were beer bottles all over and cases, and she said, I do this every morning, and she was just so sorrowful and sad. And she let us pray with her. She let us pray for her. We helped her pick up the beer bottles and we're able to move on. And God had some divine appointments for us. So I say all of that to let you guys know that we're going to do it again this Thursday. And I want you to know it was completely safe. There wasn't 1 ounce of fear that I felt. There wasn't 1 minute that I felt unsafe. But if you wanted to join us, it's at, oh gosh, I should have known the time. What time was it last week? Was it 10 o'clock? 10 or 10:30? I think it was 10:30. 10:30. Okay. 10:30. I have my facts straight. 10:30 on Thursday. Feel free to come. And then we leave right at 10:30 to start walking and break up into smaller groups. If you can make it, we'd love to have you guys with us. It was so cool to see the Lord. I mean, he kept everything peaceful down there this weekend and answered so many prayers. And so we called it a pray test as opposed to a protest. It was a pray test because that's really the enemy that we're fighting. And we want to fight with the same weapons that he's fighting with and stronger weapons, which are the Lord's weapons. Did you have a question? Where do we meet? Oh, such a good question. I didn't say that. Just Main Street. Just find a spot. No. We will meet in front of Huntington Surf and Sport, which is right on the corner of Main and PCH. And you should be able to see a few of us. And I just recommend that you park on one of the streets because it's free. You don't have to worry about paying for parking. So if you're, pardon? I think Sugar Shack is open. Some of them are open down there and some of them are not. I don't know if it's different this week or not. Some are still boarded up, but some are still open. So, yeah. So we hope you guys will join us. Thank you for coming. Mom, did you have anything else to say?
We're really excited to
have Matthew today. Oh, thanks. All right. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for watching online. Love you guys. And next week, we'll be here next week. So if you're home and you want to come, we are able to have people in the building. Just bring your mask. And, yeah. Okay, so the rules are, here's the rules. You have to wear your mask when you're walking in, but once you find your spot, you can take it off, which I assume is so there's not so many people in the same place with no mask. So that's the rules, but come join us. We have plenty of room and we're so excited for those of you who were here with us and for those of you who watched at home. So God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe. But you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are. Welcome.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Summer Series episode recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry or call us at 714-891-9495.